Right, in the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Everybody declare thanks in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am being filled with the knowledge of His will.
Say
this evening,
the
word is coming to me.
It is
entering my heart.
This
evening,
light comes to me.
I receive the spirit of wisdom,
the
spirit of revelation,
the
spirit of understanding.
Say
this evening,
I discover Christ more and more.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Now let's declare that what we normally do, want to let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
All right, let's open our Bibles quickly. We have been talking about the most important prayer, and I want us to continue from where we start. Psalm 119 is what we have been studying for some time. This is our school of prayer, and we're going to continue looking at Psalm 119 again today. I'm going to review briefly, but let's just read from 65, and then this time around we're going to 80. It's quite some read, and we'll do it the way we normally do it. I'll lead, then you back up with the even number psalm. I use the odd number, you do the even number psalm. All right. The Lord is good.
All the time.
Now you hear me repeating what you are reading. I'll read with you in the background just for the sake of our records. All right. Now, I will start from 65. All right. I'm starting from 65. We are reading a very long portion, so please get ready. He said, "You have dealt well with your servant." David was teaching us how to pray here. "O Lord, according to your word." 66. "Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments." David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes." Verse 69, "The arrogant has forged a lie against me. With all my heart I will observe your precepts." 70, "Your heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law." I like New Living Translation there. It says, "Their hearts are dull and stupid, but I delight in your instructions." 71, he said, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." 73, "Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." 74, "May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me." 76. "Oh, may your loving kindness comfort me according to your word to your servant. May your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight." 78. "May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie, but I shall meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies." 80. "May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed." The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Now let's continue what we have been looking at, the most important prayer. I'd just like to say this again and again. There is a difference between the prayer of Gentiles and the prayer of Christians. When you hear the prayer of Gentiles, you will hear them focusing on themselves and on their needs. When you hear the prayer of Christians, you hear them focusing on the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's how you know this prayer is a prayer of Christians. And let me just say to us again, Christians often pray like Gentiles, all right? But that's the problem. Sometimes people who claim to be believers, they end up praying like Gentiles. The Lord Jesus had to instruct the disciples, and He said to them, "Do not pray like the Gentiles pray." And it's unfortunate that these days we find a lot of us teachers of the word, preachers of the gospel, we teach people to pray like Gentiles pray. I haven't gone through the scriptures. I have found Psalm 119 to be about the most balanced prayer that was left behind for Christians. You understand? It was a prophetic prayer. It was a prayer of the Lord Jesus. It was prophetic. It's a messianic psalm, actually. All these things are the words that the Lord Jesus spoke. They're not just words of David. David was a prophet. David was prophesying concerning the things of the Lord Jesus. I've said to us here again and again, never forget it. This Bible is not any other thing apart from the testimony of Jesus. It's about the testimony of Jesus. It's not, I said the other day, it's a place where you can get drowned because it contains a lot of things. It contains agricultural principles. It contains economic principles. It contains geography, the principle of geography, geology, medicine, physics. There's nothing you don't find here. Principles of everything. But you see, that's why people get confused. They drown in the midst of the multitude of information that's decodable from there. You understand? If you know how to read it, you can find virtually anything. Even how to rhyme your music, you find it inside there. Very, very important. But you have to be careful that you look away from those things, all right, and focus on the testimony of Jesus. If you hear God say in the beginning, as a creation, when he said, let there be light, don't think of any other thing apart from Christ. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Are you getting my point here? Anything, he said, he breathed into him the light, the breath of life. Think about it. Christ is breathing into me the breath of life. After he rose up from the dead, he met the disciples, and he said to them, receive Holy breath, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed into the disciples also. Anytime you see your scriptures, look for the testimony of the Lord Jesus. So when you find this Psalm 119, it's a testimony of Jesus. It's not the testimony, it's not any other thing. It's a testimony of Jesus. Jesus said it himself. You said the scriptures thinking and then you find eternal life. Yeah, but you don't come to me. He said the scriptures only testify of me. So that things about the Lord Jesus. So that's the prayer Jesus prayed. This was how he cleansed, he kept himself pure. Listen to me. Everything Jesus did to keep himself pure on the earth is available to you, available to me. You hear what I said? Yes. Everything the Lord Jesus did to keep himself pure on the earth is available to you, is available to me. He was not pure because he was the Son of God. That's not what happened. Because otherwise, the Bible could not have said to us, he was tempted like we were also tempted, or we are also being tempted. What happened is that there are some strategies he used in relating with the Father. There was a way he inclined his ears to the instructions from the Father, and there were prayers he prayed. The Bible says he prayed with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from what? From death. And the wages of sin is what? Death. And it was heard in that he feared. So he said, just like that, let us also draw to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What is the time of need? The time that we are tempted to disobey. It's not the time I need money. It's the time I'm being tempted to disobey. It's not the time, all right, that I need a wife, I need a husband, I need children. No, it's the time that I'm being tempted to disobey. Is a time when things look like pressure comes upon me that says, all right, disobey the word of God. That pressure comes. That's when I go to prayer. And that's what happened to the Lord Jesus. A time came in which he was supposed to go to the cross. And he said to himself, this is a very difficult one to do. So what did he go to do? He went to pray. He stayed in the garden until the boldness, the confidence to face that cross came upon him. That was the greatest trial of his life. And all of us face trials every day. I will continue to face trial again and again. And I'm saying to us again today, this is how you handle trials. This is how you handle temptations. It is by praying effective prayers. It is by uttering words that matter. You know, like I was saying earlier, unfortunately, a lot of times we are trained these days in Christianity to pray like Gentiles. We come to prayer, we are loaded with what shall we eat, what shall we drink, how shall we kill our enemies. That one is, in fact, that's the raining one. How shall you kill your enemies? People want to talk about raising an altar. And the focus is altar versus altar. What are you versus in what? Why not altar raised to the Lord? What is altar versus altar? We are so focused on how to kill our enemies. But Psalm 1, you see David say it again and again. That's what we are doing. We are looking through the things that David focused on. David would say that enemies gathered against me. I decided to meditate on your word. The pressure of life comes upon me, but what do? I meditate on your word. That means when I get a quit notice, I'm being ejected from my house tomorrow. Instead of me going to lie down and say, God, how will you do me like this? After all, I served you. After all, I did this for you. And what if he said? No. When pressure comes upon me like that, what do? I take my Bible, I start reading about the second coming of the Lord. Are you getting my point? There's pressure upon me. I'm studying the second coming of the Lord. And I'm uttering to myself, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You are getting what I'm saying? And that is what I call the most important prayer. For Christians to know that this is what you're supposed to be doing. And that's why we're going to it one by one. Looking at different things. And today we're continuing from that verse 65. Let me just review something I said last time, because to me, it's such a beautiful one. Last time we took from 57 to 64. This Psalm 119 is in segments. Okay? Now, in that particular segment, I emphasize something that it began with one thing. David said, the Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. And then he said, that is a promise of the child of God. But life will now turn around and try to distract me. Life will come to try and separate me. Even though in verse 60, I hastened and did not delay. That's the desire of my heart. So you find in verse 61, the cause of the wicked have encircled me. I like the way New Living Translation puts that. It says, evil people try to drag me into sin, but I'm firmly anchored to your instructions. Trouble comes upon me. They put pressure on me to try and make me disobey the word of God. But my determination is that I will never do that. And I said last time, for the other things, he's also talking about midnight. He said, midnight will come. Verse 62. At midnight, I shall arise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. That is, midnight there can be literal, can be figurative. When things are not working well, it's midnight. What do? I rise up at such times and I start meditating on your precepts. I start meditating, I give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. But I check my life. Last time I talked about fasting. I check my life. Fasting doesn't change God, it changes me. And it's not hunger that changes me, it's focus on the word of God. You're getting my point here? It's not hunger that changes me, it's that focus on God's word. So that I meditate, I check, is my life conformed with the word of God? And if it is, in that one, I find confidence. In that one, I find comfort that I am the ordinances of old. My life is in accordance with those ordinances. My life is in accordance with the ordinances of God. So I meditate, all right? I check my life periodically. Very important for us to understand. That's what Christians are supposed to do. And last time I ended by explaining that there are a number of principles by which one, David was explaining here, that one keeps himself pure. And if you find it throughout Psalm 119, it is dotted here and there. I get into a number of them. Number one, constant prayer, very important. Two, meditation, that is what I think about and mutter to myself. Very important. please go and listen to our series again, which you finished recently, The Power of Praise. When you are talking to, okay, let me just go through this and I'll get back to that. So meditation, what I think about and I mutter. We talked about declarations, what I say boldly to people's hearing. What I declare boldly for people to hear. Then David now said, I keep the right company. That's 63. I'm a companion of those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. They are my friends. Those who love the word, they are my friends. Those who fear God, they are my friends. That's how I keep myself pure. That's how one of the methods by which I keep myself on the path of righteousness. I keep company with those who fear God. If they don't regard God's words and they claim to be Christians, they're not my friend at all. Yes, that's what the Bible says. That is, if they claim to be Christians and they don't regard God's word, they can't be your friends. But if they're unbelievers, yes, they can be friends. But not bosom friends. That's what Paul said. If he's an unbeliever, you can associate with him. Of course, you know what I'm saying. Not as if you are equally yoked. Not as if you are tightly bound together. But at least, if he's he claims to be a Christian, just misbehaving. Just keep, if he greets you, wave to him from a distance. Some of the things you do to believers so that their heads will be correct. But if you want to live a righteous life, you keep company, close association with those who fear God. These are the principles. And last of all right? Thanksgiving. Constantly giving thanks. Constantly giving thanks. I always use contemporary things to talk. You know what's happening in Houston right now? If you have friends in Houston, be praying. It's predicted to only get worse. What I'm talking about is that, listen, we're talking, I said, look, one of my classmates was saying something. I said, there's no safety anywhere. I'm talking about meditation. I'm talking about declarations. What you say to people. I keep on telling people, there's no safety anywhere. And the mayor there is afraid that when this flood goes down, doesn't know how many bodies they will count. A single family, 6 people died in one family trying to escape the flood. One single family, 6 people drowned at the same time. I'm talking about declarations, what we talk about all the time. When you're talking to your friends, don't tell them, look, run to this place, there's safety. Remind them, only in the Lord is safety. Safety is of the Lord. I'm talking about declarations. If you are doing things, you are getting a guard dog. First tell yourself, dog, you are not my guard. Bingo, you hear? You yourself need protection. You are building a fence, you speak to the fence. This fence, you're not the protection. You have barbed wire, look at the barbed wire. You know you are just a wire. Human beings built you, human beings can spoil you. I'm talking about declarations and meditations. You dot those things into your talk all the time. Please, that's why I said, listen to the series, The Power of Praise. Praise is not just when we lift our hands to sing. Lifting our hands to sing is the overflow of the praise that is in the heart. Praise is when we ascribe to God the glory due to his name. What is happening in the U.S. right now has shown us that there's no safety anywhere. Is this in Europe that there's safety? Europe is even terrible now. You are walking on the road. That guy beside you just wake up, start stabbing people. And they start to kill. He will have killed like 6-7 people before the police will finally shoot him. He's a suicide guy. Don't worry. The gunshot is not his problem. Somebody's driving on the road. In fact, walk out for road for where? Make sure there's concrete. When you are walking in Europe now, make sure there's always concrete between you and the cars passing. Because one guy can just face the direction and say, I just drive into people. Where is safety? But we understand that safety is of the Lord. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. We trust in the name of our God. I'm talking about meditation. These are the things we do so that we can keep ourselves in the center of obedience to the word of God. Maybe this is I'm enjoying myself. Praying is sweet. Praying was hard those days because we thought that you needed to know how to conjure words to impress God. You speak the kind of English that God will collect his dictionary. No, we had that impression. I now found out that, listen, prayer is not like that too. When the Bible says, when you talk about building yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, praying the Holy Ghost, when the Bible talks about praying in Spirit, even Ken Hagin said it, that he used to teach that praying in the Spirit just means praying in other tongues. He said, now he realized it's not exactly like that. That's Ken Hagin in his later days. That's just one of it. Don't pray your own words. Pray the words that the Lord has released. Don't pray according to your own thinking. The other day, my wife and I now were praying. There was a prayer I did and sent to our brethren. By the time we don't pray, it was so sweet, we didn't want to stop. And this is prayer that we sent to hundreds of people to pray. But we wrote them out. Just taking scriptures. And what would you do? What did I just do? I just arranged scriptures so you can read them out and chant them. Just reading them out and chanting them. What we are doing in this here is teaching those scriptures so that when you are reading them, it's not just idle words to you. It's not just a chant that has no meaning. It's something that you know when you are opening your mouth to speak. For example, he said, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. You are not saying it and you are imagining something else. As you are saying it, you are thinking, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. As you are saying it, you are giving God thanks. You have healed, you have forgiven my sins. You have healed my diseases. You have filled my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like an eagle's. You're saying that, and that's Psalm 65. You say, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Now, it said, teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Very important. You know, there's something I said earlier. When we are speaking God's word, we are speaking by faith. You are getting my point? Not how you feel. Now, you see something here. In this segment here, David focuses on something. The previous segment, we showed how he was handling distractions. In this segment, David was focusing on affliction. And this is the point. In this segment, David was focusing on what? On what?
Affliction.
A man focusing on affliction said, you have dealt well with your servant. You see as we go on, because the very next line, he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. So, in his affliction, Concerning his affliction, he said, you have dealt well with your servant. Now, what is the key? How can a man look at affliction and say, Lord, you have dealt well with your servant? Like New Living Translation says, you have done many good things for me, just as you promised. How can a man in affliction say that? It's simple. Verse 66. He said, teach me good discernment and knowledge. That is, it's only good discernment that will let you look at affliction and say, God has dealt well with me. I don't know whether you get my point here. And he began to explain it. Why would you say it was good? Verse 67. Why would you say my affliction was good? He said, because before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, that affliction has caused me to do what? To obey your word. For that reason, he says, Lord, you have dealt well with your servant. One day, a thief broke into a car, collected all my earthly belongings. There wasn't so many. That's why they could enter a bag. Just took my bag. And the first scripture that came to my mind is, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Later when Bishop Oyedepo used to teach us that you are saving to buy a car that can catch fire, I believed it because my bag had caught fire before, in quote. A lot of the freedom I had in life those days, when my friends were doing 3 jobs, now I look back and I say, men love suffering. You know? Men love suffering. You do 3 jobs because you want to buy a car. Why don't you just trek? It's not the same thing. What I'm trying to say is that you suffer so you will not suffer. And when you weigh the suffering, it's not better than the suffering you will have suffered. I don't know whether you're getting my point. If I suffered 10,000 units to save myself 200,000 suffering, are you getting my point? It is good. When I suffer 10,000 units to save myself 9,500 units of suffering, is that not bad mathematics? That's bad accounts. Is that not so? You work 3 jobs for 1.5 years to buy a car that a thief can collect in 1 month. No, I'm even assuming they allow you to drive it for 1 month, though. No. To steal it is 5 minutes now. Boom, now you go run. Nobody the thieves. I'm not even talking about a thief that wants to be fiddling with your lock. The one that just got stop. Before he fires one shot, you have this. In fact, you will be giving testimony, praise the Lord, I'm still alive. Those days, that was my problem those days. When people say, I want to do this, I say, I can't do it because, look, I used to tell myself, I said, the day a thief collects his car, the day he catches fire, the day he has an accident, the day anything terrible happens to it, I won't be thinking about the car. I'll be thinking about 18 months, 24 months of suffering. I said, leave it. It's not yet his time. That was my attitude. Believe me, it took a bit of affliction to get to drum that point in. And let me say something to you. There is no affliction that comes upon a believer that does not have a lesson in it. You can convert what looks like temporal loss to an eternal gain by drawing a spiritual lesson. I don't know whether I get my point.
Yes, sir.
What should have been lost, you can convert it to gain just by drawing a spiritual lesson of development from it. If you allow God to teach you something strong from inside that place, because you see, I've said it before here many times, what God calls valuable is not what human beings call valuable. Spiritual lessons to the Lord, they are much more important than temporal blessings. As I said the other time, he can collect a company worth hundreds of millions of naira from somebody, ruin it. Say why? I want to teach him. I want to teach her that only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. That lesson to you, that company was worth 200 million naira. The Lord said that lesson does not have, is invaluable. It's priceless. That's the reason why a man like David can look and say, you have dealt well with your servant according to your word. It's not my experience. It's what his word says. You are getting my point? But people who don't have good discernment and knowledge, that's the point here. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. I believe in your work. If I have discernment, if I have good understanding, I'll be able to say these things with confidence. I'll be able to say all things work together for good to them that loves God, that love God. I'll be able to say with confidence that everything is working together for my good. So he said, before I was afflicted, that's the good in it. I went astray. But now I keep your word. He said, you are good and do good. Please, it's important for us to see, to understand. David was talking about affliction in this segment. An afflicted man is saying, God, you are good and you do good. You can only say that because of what? Understanding, discernment. He said, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Please, let me say this again. You know, our topic for this series is what? The most important prayer. For a man who is afflicted, his prayer is not, Lord, this affliction is too much. This affliction is too much. It has to come to an end now, 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 now. The man knelt there and said, Lord, you are good, you do good. Teach me your statutes. Don't let me be afflicted for nothing. Are you getting my point? Don't let this affliction end. And I cannot say, wait, oh. You know, one day, you know, there was time Pastor Chris ever had an accident. I told you guys that time. Very terrible. In fact, he missed his program in Enugu here because of that. It wasn't a small thing. By the time the accident finished, he was upside down. I was still inside the car upside down on the Third Mainland Bridge. He said, Mankey, that the driver only had a scratch. Insurance paid for the car. I was the only one that saw. He was heading for the airport, Third Mainland Bridge. What happened? The driver does not know. All they knew that the car began to summer sugar, summer pepper, and summer salt. Then by the time the car ended, they were sitting on the Third Mainland Bridge. Thank God they were not inside the water. Yeah, it was on the bridge. He said, as soon as the whole thing stopped, he said, Lord, you got my attention. What's the problem? As I said, look, like the driver only had one small scratch. And insurance paid him for his car that was ruined. So all the affliction was on him. He said something to me later, because I used to call once in a while. I said, how are you doing, sir? He said, I've learned more about God in the last 1 month than all my life before now. It's good to talk to people who know the Lord. So I would say, all my enemies, they went from my village. They were blowing on the car like this. I flew and I jammed them. He said, I've learned more about God in this last 1 month than before, that is before that point all my life. That's why men said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, Lord, teach me your statutes. Don't let me go through affliction. You understand? And I come out of it. I can't say I've learned more about the Lord. That's a wasted season. So instead of waiting for when will this season be over, let's focus on what am I learning. That's the most important prayer of Christians. So, not gathering all night. That this year, nobody who comes for this meeting, by the time it's morning, all of us will have our own cars. By the time it's morning, all of us have our own husbands. By the time it's morning, we all have our own wives. In fact, within 6 weeks of completion, there will be nobody that would not have laid foundation. That's a prayer meeting of Gentiles. Gentiles have gathered to pray. It's true. But how do we, as Christians, pray? No. Say, Lord, you are good, even in the midst of my affliction, and you do good. Teach me your statutes. So the arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my lawyers, I will defend myself. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my prayer warriors, I will jam them. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say I will defend myself. That's verse 69. He said, with all my heart, I will obey your precepts. That is, whatever they are saying, that's not my primary concern. Sometimes I see men of God. You know, many years ago, I read a little book by A.W. Tozer. He called it seven keys to spiritual power. I can't remember all of them. But one of the ones I remember is the man said, never defend yourself. Tozer said the key to spiritual power, don't defend yourself. Sometimes I see men of God doing image laundry. That's one area where follow Bishop Oyedepo. I love him in that area. He doesn't care what you think about him. He doesn't care. He said, we have no apologies to any devil. That's his response. So we don't have any apologies to any devil. You will never see him in the newspaper and trying to defend himself. One day, I saw one of our big men in Nigeria. You know, you'll be breaking the word of God because you want to impress people. Because they are abusing us. You know, we are buying private jets. We are driving expensive cars. We are building universities. We are living in mansions. They will now start doing like other people. We'll now go and carry camera and be handing out bags of rice, handing out motorcycles, keke napeps, grinding machine, rolls of cloth, sewing machine, thank you very much. Then camera will be filming us like Pharisees. Why? We want to show to the world we have a corporate social responsibility mindset. Why? Because people are abusing us. Abuse me all you want. David said, when you're abusing me, I'll go and carry my Bible and read it. I mean, they lie. I mean, that's what they do. They want to, every time. I like Bishop Oyedepo for that thing, though. And the truth is that people are talking a lot, and just by the way, Christians understand. Be very careful when you are criticizing things you don't know. I remember then, the first time Bishop Oyedepo bought a private jet. Now, please, I'm not here defending private jets, but let me just tell you, you just keep quiet. You don't know anything. Are you getting my point? One guy was my colleague that time. We were in the same office. People were arguing, how can he? He doesn't have a right. Who go? So I asked somebody. This guy was a senior naval officer. So I said, look, can you please give me a small breakdown of what this man does from Monday to Saturday? He looked at me. I said, yes, you just told me he doesn't need a private jet. He said, can you quickly give me what he does from Monday to Saturday? That's apart from Sunday that we assume is in church. He said, I don't know. I said, in that case, you cannot judge what he needs and what he does not need. A man of honor. He said, I think you are right. Should he buy the jet? It's simple. None of my business. None of my business. It doesn't concern me. He has not collected, you know, one lady in my department that time, a Muslim, she and I were joking about something. Say, hey, sit down there. Your bishop has used your money to buy a plane for himself. And I said, how does it concern you? You said my money. Have I come to you to complain? Why are you swallowing Panadol when I'm the one that have the headache? My head is aching me. You are there taking Panadol, ibuprofen, everything. Say, why are you swallowing headache? Pastor Banky has why are you swallowing tablets? Pastor Banky is sick. So I told the lady that, they said, how is it your problem? My bishop used my money to bribe private jet, and you want to die because of it. Like I said, it's not your business, all right? But what I want, just by the way, okay? They tell that the private universities, which missions are running, they are so expensive, even the congregation cannot pay for it. And I always laugh. I said, next time you and your friends build a filling station, drive in there and collect fuel and not pay. Just for your information. One day somebody, I'll leave this in 2 minutes, all right? One day somebody settled down and finished abusing the university, that covenant. Say, oh, we are just wasting, people can't pay, that they like the Catholics, kinikon, that his son going to a Catholic secondary school. And I was surprised that everything, it was 110,000 naira for the term. Then somebody pointed out to him that, but in Heritage, that is, what the name of, winners? Yeah, in Kingdom Heritage School, that one is 105. We found it was 5,000 cheaper. Now, how dare you compare universities to secondary schools? Believe me, I work in a university. The difference is as wide as light and day. I did analysis for my brethren that time before we were discussing it in a group. I said, guys, there are three of us here who are inside this thing. One of them, a professor of law in America. Another one, the chief accountant in a private university. And me, in Enugu here. Another of us said the same thing. That you guys keep quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. We work in this place. And believe me, those schools are heavily subsidized by those offerings you are talking about. Whether for those free offerings brethren give, who will pay? They collect 500,000 naira for you to be in covenant for one whole year. You think you are paying money. You don't know what universities cost. That's why you're talking that rubbish. I did analysis for some people. All right? That to run a medical school, to pay their staff alone. Now, listen. This does not include hall, library, non-academic staff. Just to pay university lecturers. Every medical student will pay 100,000 naira a month. You know what I said? 100,000 naira. How often? 1.2 million. That will not pay your bossa. It's not pay the gate mate. It won't clear the grass. If there's flood like the one in Houston, it will not drain the water. They want your lecturers to collect. Say, this is my salary for the month for teaching you. It comes to 100,000 naira a month for each medical student. That's 1.2 million a year. So when you now add other things to it, you know, a school that charges, a college of men that charges 2 million per annum is not expensive. That is just the cost. I'm digressing. I just like to educate people. So why are they charging what they are charging? Like you said, because of the offerings they get. That's how come only 90% of private schools, who starts them? Those who can collect offering. If you can't, those who are not collecting offering, go and check how much they are charging. Why am I talking about this? Just trying to educate people. So what you don't know, what do you do? Just shut up. Don't say anything. Otherwise, God will put you in a place where the whole world will be abusing you too. But that's not part of the message. The message is that everybody gathers, and I love Bishop Oyedepo about that one. He doesn't care. He say, hey, he bought a private jet, he buys a second one. When you make more noise, he buys a third one. Then you get tired of noise making. And God is looking at you, say, if you talk again, I collect your car. What you don't realize is that your car is somebody else's private jet. Yes. To you, it's not a big deal, just 2.5 million naira. Go to the market. For a whole bag, some people that rush up and down, selling pure water, somebody did calculation. After running up and down, they make like 40 naira an hour. Then you opened your hands and paid 2.5 million for a car. You're a wicked soul. But you don't think like that. Why? It's your level. So leave that side. What did I talk? Leave that side. Say, Pastor Mark, are you trying to buy a private jet? Where am I flying to? And now David was saying, look, which verse? 70. All right, 69. He said, the arrogant have formed a lie against me. People are there criticizing me, but how do I respond? With all my heart, I will observe your precepts. I will check to be sure that in the midst of what they are saying, I'm not breaking your laws. Their heart is covered with fat. That is, their hearts are dull and stupid. But I delight in your instructions. Remember, this segment is what? Affliction. It's on afflictions. He said, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. You get the point here? So that if it requires affliction to be able to understand it, I will rejoice in that affliction. Because the product of the affliction is worth more than thousands of gold and silver pieces. I hope you're getting the point here. That is the primary thing in the life of a Christian. The next segment, David begins to talk, all right? Now listen. In that segment, he talked about affliction. We are learning to pray. When we are praying, we take those words and read them out. You want to pray in the morning, you can just decide to take a segment. Say, okay, I'm in 65 to 72 this morning. You read that again and again. Before we go to the next segment, which we'll end with today. The other day, we said it here. I think it was Israel, me, and Okemonte that were talking. And we said the word is working. People just don't realize it. What do you mean by the word is working? The primary work of the word is not to give you money. The primary work of the word is not to establish you, give you a big house, give you a big business, a big job. The primary work of the word is to establish Christ-likeness in you. And that word is actually working. A lot of us don't realize it. We're not giving thanks for the things that are most important. Like you're saying that, you came with it, that listen, you hear people talk and you ask yourself, why don't I talk like this? He says, because the word is working. Why don't I fear what people fear? It is because what? The word is working. Why is it that People say, hey, I must have my children abroad. I must do all of it. And personally, it has never made any meaning to me. Never. I wouldn't pay if you say, okay, just give us 50,000 naira, which is not more than I would have paid for normal delivery in Enugu here. That's 50,000 naira to cover flight ticket, hospital bills, and everything. My wife will go to the US, deliver, and come back. I wouldn't give it to you. Pastor Banky, are you sure? Of course. Of course, I'm certain. When my wife was going to deliver the first time, it was offered to her free of charge. And she asked her mother simply, how long will I be away before my husband sees his child? So maybe about 4 weeks, or is it 8 weeks? I said. And he said, 8 weeks? She just hissed the thing away. And her mother said to her, you people are very strange people. You and your husband. Now, why would she think like that? I'll be honest with you. Because the world is working. That's why I reason like that. It doesn't mean anything to me. Zero, zap, nothing. Before I used to argue with people, but I realized that, why are you arguing, Banky? You don't realize the world is working on you. They are not paying attention to the same word, and you don't have them to have their own worries. What's wrong with you? They have to enjoy their own worries. Why pray when you can worry? I mean, think about it. You have prayed, so you are not worrying. They are worrying because they don't want to pray. And you are trying to argue with them on what worry has birthed in their life, comparing to what prayer has birthed in your life. What agreement has prayer with worry? Come out from amongst the argument and be separate. Do you get what I'm trying to explain here? You're getting my point. Many times, look, that's what the, look. It was last week, just three of us were talking here. Okay, Muti said, listen, no. He said, the world is working, we don't realize it. You're just talking about, you hear people talk, and he said, why don't I reason like this? He said, actually, the world is working. Sometimes I meditate, I say, Lord, how do people cope in this life? How? They don't have God. Listen, if you come, jam my motto. I end it with thanksgiving. Don't think I've not had trouble before. Go and read my book. Great Faith Can Be Yours. I talked about the fact that Isaac died in that book. Even when Isaac dies, we give thanks. Why? Because we must not lose. David said, listen, this one is worth to me more than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Are we going to lose something and still lose this gold, spiritual gold and silver pieces? No. So I wonder for people, look, listen, my car has been ruined before. I didn't see the car again. I gave somebody, please, so let's use your car. Next day I heard I didn't dump some sugar. And the Lord just showed me a sign before that. And the banker, I watch over you. Don't worry about that. Small sign, no? Small, and that's how I read my life. I was about to park my car. And something in me just said, look at that guy. He will run into you if he moves. You know, I just looked in that direction. That car. Now, listen. There was nobody inside, though. And the car was some distance away. I reversed my car and parked. Later on, I got a call. Long distance. My friend called from the UK. So I came out of the hall to come and talk with the guy outside. So I have some quiet. It was an angel telling me, sit down, watch drama. I sat down. I saw that man walk straight out of the premises of the guest house we're using. Just walked out of the corridor. Entered that car I saw earlier. Put his car in reverse and ran into my car. And I was watching everything like slow motion. And I was on the phone as this was happening. And people got up to go and check. That small reverse by like 2-3 meters moved the body of the car away from its path of impact, leaving only my bumper there. So as he ran into the car, he hit only the bumper. The car rocked to and fro. Steady, that guy jumped out, put his two hands on the head like, hey, I don't buy job today. I don't chop busy. I just sat where I was still on the phone, talking to my friend, watching people come out. Hey, what happened? What happened? What happened? Oh, don't worry. There's no problem. There's no problem. Just the bumper. Just the bumper. Oh, there's nothing. There's a small scratch on the bumper. Ah, the guy said, thank God. Oh, now the car. I just stood out watching everybody solving my problems for me in front there. Less than an hour later, I got a phone call. My car I gave to somebody had done plenty somersault. I took that one as the Lord telling me, see, I could have stopped that one. I did not. So don't worry about it. What did I do? I didn't worry about it. So that is why I marvel for people.
When you don't trust God, what do you trust? That's why people go crazy. One woman in America sat down. This was in Texas. 4 or 5 children. She waited for all of them. Shot them one by one. As I come back from school, wham, shoot. Cock the gun, wait for the next one. Now one opens the door, enters the house. Wham, their mother. Not the housemaid, not the witch in the village. The mother. When she had finished shooting all of them, she now carried the phone and called the police. Please come. What is it? I just shot 4 kids. Or 5. Why? They were getting on my nerves. They want to arrest me. You know, even you, police, you go confused. Okay, if I arrest you, what is it going to do to the society? Nothing. I still remember the funny lady. Her boyfriend, not the father of the children. She has 2 children. Her boyfriend said, I don't like coming to your house. Why? Because of your kids. This girl took 2 children, put them in the car, said, we are going out, put them in their car seat, strap them down, push the car into the lake. You know why you don't do such things? The word works. It's because the word is working. Don't think that, no, I'm not like that. Believe me, you have not seen trouble. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed. There are times people's hearts will be so overwhelmed. They don't know what they are doing. That first woman I was telling you about, she didn't have a history of mental problem, nothing. Life just choked her to a level. She shot all the children and called the police. They said, why? She said, I was tired of them. That they were getting on her nerves. She didn't like the way they were behaving. What is the solution? So I killed all of them. Why? Because she can't pray. I mean, why pray when you can't shoot? You know, I just marvel. I say, how do they cope? How do they cope? No wonder psychiatrists are so needed in those countries. Because no matter the calamity that comes into your life and mine, we just kneel down and we learn that from Job. We give thanks. His affliction, I know it's terrible, but Lord, what are we going to do? Even though he slays me, yet I will trust him. I started by trying to explain that the word works. You take the Psalms, you read them out like this. It's changing you. Are you getting my point? That's the primary thing prayer does. It changes you. It doesn't get you money. Before it gives you money, it first proves to you that life does not come from money. That's what prayer does. Jesus had the power in his hands. They said, use it. You are hungry, are you not? He said, very, very. I've not eaten in 40 days. Turn these stones to bread. Somebody said, the word works. But what did the word do? Did it turn the stones to bread? No. You know, this is one want to testify the word works. Say, brethren, I took the stones in my hands. I began to speak to the stones. Oh, Kaladoso, so poyoda. I stole the stone. Stone! I command you, become bread. And brethren, I still have one loaf remaining, just want to chop. I hope he say, oh, praise the Lord, the word works. Now, what did Jesus do? The word works. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The words turned him into somebody who said, man shall not live by bread alone. That even though I'm hungry, I will not turn stones to bread. That was the word working. That was God looking at him saying, because you have not asked for bread, but you have asked for satisfaction when there is no bread. Therefore, I will give you wisdom. That's what he did to Solomon. And then I will now give you all kinds of bread. No wonder one day people were hungry. He took a piece of bread, broke it. Each piece became full again. He broke them, became full again. And as it was breaking, the bread was replenishing. Why? He had understood that man does not live by bread alone. So what he was living by was coming out of him and showing up like bread in the eyes of people to see. If he had turned stones to bread, he would not have fed 5,000. Somebody say the word is working. It's changing you. That's the primary thing he's doing. So when we take these Psalms, believe me, that's what prayer is doing. So we take it in our personal lives. We look at it. We declare it. Even when our lives don't seem to have conformed to some things in there, we declare them by faith.
Yes, sir.
We declare them and say, Lord, your word, the word of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. You say that to yourself every day in prayer. Just take a segment. Say, this segment, for the next 1 month, I'm fasting on the matter of affliction. You know what fasting is about now? I'm fasting on the matter of affliction. Like I said, fasting doesn't have to be from, you know, people say 6 to 6. You're not a Jew, you're a Christian. Some of these things we do. Anyway, let me not go there again. You can decide that, listen, my fasting is from 5 a.m. till 10 o'clock a.m. Why? Because I don't have leave. So, and listen, these are the disciplines of life. For you to be able to wake up at 4, be ready, start praying and everything by 5, and not feel sleepy at work, you go to bed early. Yeah, you get my point? When they say, this is Angelina's birthday, said, I can't come. Ah, she will be hot too. Say, don't worry, she will feel better after some time. It's true now. She will be hot. Don't worry, she will heal. Because as long as you finish, you go to your house, do all the things you need to do, and go to bed. Why? Just a few hours every morning. So you wake up early, by 4:30 you're awake. You've brushed your teeth, you've had a bath, clothes are laid out, then you start. While everybody is still sleeping, that's fasting. Like I said last time, don't think you are fasting because you are hungry. Meanwhile, the day of your fasting, you are washing your clothes. You are watching the latest matches. You are watching everything happening on social media. And as you are fasting, you are washing your clothes and checking updates on Facebook. Tell me you are fasting. No, you are hungry. You ain't fasting. You are just punishing yourself. You are starving. But what is the real fast? You take this psalm like that, wake up that early. And see, this month, it is about the way I handle affliction. Start looking at all the negative things that happen in your life. Start thanking God for them. Say, Lord, what did I learn? Now listen to this. So, know what God wants to do some for people here? He wants to remove every iota of trust in people. Now listen to those who will disappoint you. Your father. Your mother. Your brother that's very rich. He has money. Every time you call him, he's always complaining. Doesn't know what's wrong with this country now. Don't be angry with them. God is doing that deliberately to you so that you will lose trust in human beings. So you wake up those months, I remember this one by one. The day I needed that money. Critically, my uncle, I knew the guy has money, refused to give me. Father, I want to thank you. Before I was afflicted like that by my uncle, I went astray. I was trusting human beings. But you know now I trust only you. Oh, I thank God for my own personal experience in Kingdom of Ministry especially. This ministry. I don't know how the Lord did it. From day one, he made sure that I never trusted anybody for money. I can't even manipulate people with money. See the way we take our offering announcement here? It's as if you want to give, it's your problem. If you don't want to give, carry your money, go home. Yeah, I'm going to begging you to give for what? Did me and you discuss I wanted to do ministry? No. So why should I be harassing you that I need your money? Where's money coming from? From the Lord. He knows how he does it. I learned early. You can't trust people. People tell me, start a church so that you can collect as an offering. You know when God wants to do you strong thing? It's when you start that church, eh? All the little money you were getting before will vanish. You now realize that there's no human strategy for getting money. It's only God that gives it. I learned that thing very early. I don't know how I even learned it. I learned it very early. The only person I ever opened my mouth one day and told, give money to Kingdom World Ministries. Now, you say, why did you do that? It's because he's my friend. No, I wasn't saying, please, we need money. What just happened was that we're gisting. And if I buy it, have a new book out, he rushes it. He will listen to all the messages we record here. And I said to him simply, I said, then I think he should give us money. And I was teaching a principle that actually, spiritually speaking, you owe us. Why? We are feeding you with spiritual substance. Paul said, as a matter of fact, we should receive material things from you. Because he's a friend, I just wanted to share that with him. And he said straight to my face, I don't want to give you. I'm serious. Told me to my face. So I said, I'm sorry. Not to him, but to the Lord. Even the Lord knew I was not trying to collect money from him. And believe me, God has been good to us. Yes, he's been good to us. This year we have so multiplied. Doubled the number of registrations we are on in just a few months. Went up from like 5 to like 11. Not like we are owing the ones that we are on before. We are not owing nobody. Ain't nobody, not owing anybody. The Lord is good. Honestly. So you need to learn that, just thank God. Just affliction. After I gave him that big offering and I felt sick, Lord, I want to thank you. You proved to me that my offering cannot buy my health. People have fallen sick before and they can't understand. I fell sick. Why? Why should I fall sick? God, maybe the heavenly accountant is not calculating properly. Check it now. The money I got was 150,000. I gave 16,000, the extra 1,000 just in case. God, why did you not rebuke the devourer? But when you're dealing with affliction, you know what you do? You lift your hands. Say, Father, I thank you. Because after that time, I see they give, but not they expect anything. Give, because let's not quarrel in this heavenly family. Let me not quarrel with my heavenly Father. I don't want to tell you some stories now because you wonder. One day I was in school. Somebody said to me, let me give you a small gist. I understand some of this that I teach now. Somebody now said to me that, no, if you don't give God 10%, devourer, no prosperity for you. I said, no, the Bible, the young guy I was on campus, the Bible didn't teach like that. No. Look at the way I argued script. Somebody now said, God said, prove me now. I said, all right. No problem. The Lord, that's what they said. You said, fine. So as soon as my father sent money, I took 10% of it. I said, you guys call it a tithe. So I dropped it. God said, fine. Then the good Lord, in his infinite mercy and everlasting kindness, called one devourer. See that guy? Teach him a lesson. Devourer came after me. I kept my clothes outside. Devourer collected everything. Bros. Devourer went after me like this. What is going on? For the first time I entered University of Benin, I was broke. I could not eat. No phone. For the first time, I borrowed money around home. Said, Daddy, I beg. If I say something, they happen. I was broke. So I now went and told one brother. Did I suffered that period. And I went and told the brother who preached the message. I said, you said, prove me now. Shall I tell you what I experienced from the proof? He said, no, it's a seed. No, you told me proof. What? When did it become a seed? He said, no, you have to nurture it. It takes time to grow. My friend, get away. You are talking about what you don't even know. After that, I said, believe me alone. Let me go back to the doctrine of God I understand. Give generously. Give generously. Even 100%, you feel like giving, give. Let love provoke everything. Before I was afflicted, I almost believed that doctrine. Now, it wasn't like that. That is almost this shape your doctrine. No, it was people trying to persuade me to abandon things. That said, prove me now. And then I said, banking, nothing personal, just trying to help you. Because they are going to have to teach people for me. So look back to affliction and say, Father, thank you. One brother wrote to me, he said, listen, that he planted a very heavy seed. He prophesied. He did everything and he wrote an application and he believed God for that job. And then the day the result of that interview came out, they didn't take him. The job he thought he had, he lost it that same day. So he wrote to me and said, man of God, what happened? I replied, I said, at least now you are getting to know God better. So you see, your seed couldn't get you that job. I said, listen, what you practice is not scripture. You had your confidence not in the Lord, but in your self-righteousness. I said, go and pray. God will find another job. The seed is the word of God. That your money is not the seed. If you want to give, I keep on telling Christians, give. What are you trying to tell God? That he can't listen if you use the name of Jesus? What are you trying to add to it? Think about it for a moment. Ask my children here, two of them around. What have they ever given me when they want to ask me for something? Something is a spiritual principle. Agreed. I just don't need it. I have something better. I have something better. Imagine, no, the other day, just sounds like, you know, just a joke. I was in my office. I was getting alert, debit alert, debit alert. Ah, I did hear the get debit alert. And I said, oh, my wife is in Lagos. And she has my ATM card. I said, no wonder. So well. You know, I was in the office with my colleagues. You look, ATM draw, 20,000 naira. Ah, okay. Another one. Ah, what is going on? Now, imagine this scenario. She wants to buy something. And I say, madam, hey, do you have money? She said, no, I don't have any money here. And I say, please, just help these people. They are carrying load here. If you just help them carry from here to there, they pay 200 naira for each one you carry. If you carry five times, it's 1,000. Now, let me ask you, is it true or false? No, imagine this. Is it true or false? If she did that, would she get the 1,000?
Yes.
But would she do that? What would she say? I don't need to. This is my husband's ATM. Do you have an ATM machine here? They'll say yes. You walk over there. Ping, 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 ping. 20K. Boom. Those who are walking, now where don't know. They will get their 200 naira. They will get their 200 naira per load. She's just saying, I have my husband's ATM. I don't need to carry your load. That's why I tell Christians. Why do I not believe I need to sow to get something from you, from God? Because I have the name of Jesus. I'm not saying the principle doesn't work. I just don't need it. Please enter your secret number. J-E-S-U-S. Wait while your transaction is processing. I just pause there and wait. That is the principle I preach. People say, no, if you need something, you give. It's not true. James said, you have not because you did not ask. Or when you ask, you did not ask correctly. Am I saying if you give, you don't receive? I never said so. I just said when you want to receive, when receiving is the primary thing on your mind, it's not the time to give. It is the time to ask in the name of Jesus. But every good work has a fruit. Never forget that. Every good work a believer does has a fruit. But he must never do it for the fruit. Why? I, the Lord, I check the heart. Why he's doing it comes up to me first before I consider what he did. And those that do things that actually produce fruit, as a rule, they don't know when they did it. Later on, the Lord will now point out to them. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Why? When I was hungry, you fed me. When did we see you hungry and we fed you? When was the time that is the thing that gave them that great reward? They did not know when they did it. Oh, thank God for the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. It's more powerful than all my own works. Much more powerful. So like I was saying, I take time out, I'm fasting, I'm counting all the disappointments of life. And I'm doing what? I'm thanking God for them. In each one of them, I learn a lesson. In each one, I learn a lesson. Let me tell you something. Do you know Job was a righteous man? Do you know God was impressed with his righteousness? Do you know God was also disappointed with his level of righteousness that the whole earth had? God was impressed only because Job was the best. But God said, this is not my own kind of righteousness. No, God, look, I don't have time to go into details, but God said it clearly. This is not my kind of righteousness. Job's righteousness is not a good type. It's the righteousness of works. Why? Job said, go and read Job 29. And that's how many Christians are trying to sit inside right now. Something that did not actually finally bless Job. In Job 29, Job said, he said, oh, that I were like in the days gone by, when my children were yet with me, when my feet bathed with butter, and the rocks poured out for me streams of oil. And he described all the good things that God had done for him. He said, why? Because I helped the widow. I helped the fatherless. Because of this, he counted every good thing that he had done. Job said, I prospered because I learned to help people. And God said, that is why I need to move you to another level. By the time God was through with Job, listen, God gave him back double. Are you getting my point? You know what he was saying? He was saying, everything you did before, it gave you that level of blessing. When you know me properly, the blessing I can bring into your life doubles. So Job said, I heard of you with the hearing of my ears. I understood some spiritual principles and some spiritual keys, and it worked. He said, but now I see you. He said, what did he now say? He said, now I repent in dust and in ashes. After that day, Job did not feel righteous anymore. His sense of righteousness died that day because he saw the holiness of the God he had to deal with. Huh? He thought he was a good man, but by the time God was through with him, he saw God and he felt like a dirty old man. He felt like a dirty sinner. He said, God, why on earth were you relating with me? And God was saying, in effect, it's called mercy. It's called mercy. I see your heart. I love your heart. But I'm not relating with you because of your good works. I related with you because of my mercy. And because the time is coming. That is, all the animal sacrifices you were doing, somebody is coming to give the real thing. I am coming down in the body of my son to die for your sins. That's why I was dating with you. Not because of anything you were doing yourself. Listen, for chapters, Job had defended himself. That's why I like to be a Christian. When I get to the place of prayer, you Lord, thank you for your mercy that you have shown in Christ Jesus. There is nothing I'm asking you for that I deserve for any reason. If we're able to be faithful in anything, we are grateful for the spirit of faithfulness, which did not even come out of us. Are you getting my point? He said, no. Paul said, who are we to think as if any sufficiency came out of us? He said, no, nothing. Our sufficiency is of God. Who has made us sufficient as ministers of the New Testament? That was where, listen, that was the level God took Job to. Believe me, one day in heaven, Job will look back and say to God, not even in heaven, on the earth. When the guy had understanding, when he had insight, before I was afflicted, I went astray. You say Job went astray? Yes. If he did not go astray, why was he repenting in dust and ashes? He said, but now I obey your word. Many people have looked at Ezekiah and said, Ezekiah said to God, I have done everything right. Go and read what Ezekiah said. The prayer of Ezekiah was in two parts. The first part recorded as his prayer. The second part, the thanksgiving afterwards. You will know that when they say, Ezekiel, you are going to die, he wasn't bragging everything he had done right. When he finished speaking, you know, the Bible is condensed. When he finished speaking, the Lord tapped him and said, do you know why I'm going to kill you now? Showed him a few things. You think you did everything right? You didn't do this. He said, yeah, I'm sorry. When he said, I am sorry, in that short time, God told, this man had not gone far. He said, go back, go and tell him, I'll give him 15 more years. We think as he was, I don't have time now to analyze it. Go and read it. What you just need to do is read the thanksgiving after. That's when you know that Ezekiel was not beating his chest. He did when he started praying. God warned him, don't say that again. So Ezekiel will say, Lord, thank you for your affliction. Before I was afflicted, I thought I was good. But now I obey your word. Why? Because I have insight. I have understanding. That's what prayer does. So we can take a whole month, like I was saying, take that segment and begin to pray with that segment. Say, Lord, I'm thanking you for affliction. Yes, I needed a job 2 years. Those who, what is it? Those who did not make my degree in school, they were getting jobs. That is why when you are praying, you take time and worship. Lord, I thank you. I came out of school, second class upper. Those who did not do as well as I did, now they have jobs. They gave them an official car. They are shining. Last time I saw Andrew, he said, dash me 5,000 naira. Lord, me. But now you know, God said, look, just go and worship. Father, I thank you. Thank you that my friends didn't remember me. You didn't give me a job you gave to them, but they are my friends. Lord, can I just take 5 minutes and bless them, increase them, keep them, let them know you. In my affliction, I've gotten to know you. You know, if I've gotten that job, Lord, by now I've been in UK for a holiday. But I thank you. I'm in Nigeria, jobless. Your name be worshipped. Oh, no, I pray with Christians, we learn to pray like that. I'm not trying to command everything as if life is at your command. What do you know? If God gave you that authority, you won't know what to do with it. Why is he pouring water in Houston? You don't know. So that flood you are seeing, the angels carry bucket, they pour. You think it's rain? It's not rain. Harvey. Harvey is the name of an angel. Come. The lady said, look, that don't worry, guys. We'll inform all of you before we do it. So all the Christians, you should be ready. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. That is what we do with prayer, people of God. The word is working. It's transforming us. We'll read the rest next time. Because let me just introduce it. So we'll continue from 73. So your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. Now that 73 is very important. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Let me know why I was born, that I might live and fulfill your word. That's what it was in 73. So your hand made me, fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. That is, God, let me know why you did it. What was I born to fulfill? It's an important prayer. These are the important prayers. That's another prayer. Another 1 week fasting. You take some time on the affliction segment. Another time on why was I born segment. That's the next one David was not talking about. Your hand made me. Your hand formed me. There is a reason. Give me understanding. Let me not pursue what everybody else is pursuing. Let me realize that my assignment is different from theirs. Help me to know it. Let's rise to our feet. Let's pray. We'll continue from that 73 next time. I've spoken that. Remember, it's our school of prayer. It's what? Our school of prayer. That is, we are learning. Let's practice what we have learned. Everybody begin to give thanks for affliction. Everybody begin to give thanks for affliction. Say, Lord, I thank you. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I obey your word. Remember something that, you know, you were angry about, you were hurt by. It's an affliction. Remember a disappointment. It's an affliction. Remember an illness. It's an affliction. Remember a loss. They're all afflictions. Say, Lord, thank you for my affliction. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I obey your word. Let us pray. Let us pray. Say, Lord, thank you. I know you are working in me. All things work together for good to them that love you, to them who are called according to your purpose. Say, Lord, it may not have felt good, but I know it was good. You do good. Yes, you do good. You do good. Even if it's discipline, you do good. Thank God. Say, Lord, I thank you for the good you are doing in me. Thank you for the delay that I've suffered. Say, Lord, thank you for the delay that I've suffered. It's not because you are powerless, but because you are working in me. Say, Lord, I thank you. Your word is working. Your word is working. You are working in me. Lord, your word is working. You are working in me. Your word is working. Say, Lord, your word is working in me. Begin to mention those things that before now, they used to pain you. They used to pain you. When you remember, it hurts your soul. Say, Lord, give me understanding. You know, David said that. David said, Lord, give me understanding. Give me insight. Give me insight. Later on, we'll read it. He said, in your faithfulness, you have afflicted me. That's what David said. He said, teach me good discernment and knowledge. That's 60, verse 66. Say, Lord, teach me good discernment and knowledge. Let me know what I was supposed to learn. Let not that lesson not... No. It's worth thousands of pieces of silver. It's worth thousands of pieces of gold. The lesson out of my affliction. To be terrible if in the midst of affliction that I pass through that affliction, I didn't learn anything. Say, Lord, I thank you. That's what prayer is for. Say, Lord, thank you. The word is working in me. Take time out. Pray for yourself. Say, Lord, thank you. The word is working in me. Your word is changing me. Yes, bad things happened. People thought it was bad. But Lord, give me understanding so that I would understand what exactly was happening in my life. Give me good insight. Give me good knowledge. I suffered delays. Thank you. I was the best in my class, but things didn't work out well. Say, Lord, thanks for proving to me that the race is not to the swift, that the battle is not to the strong. Lord, help me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for proving it to me. Now I know that it's of the Lord that shows mercy. That secret thing in me that was trusting in my own strength. Thank you for removing it. Yeah, it's gone now. It's gone now. It's gone now. Thank you for the disappointment that drove it away. He said to the church in Smyrna, 10 days you'll be tested. Say, Lord, I thank you because my affliction has a number of days. But I declare, I will obey your word. I will be faithful. I will obey your word. I will be faithful. Help me to obey you. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Incline my heart to your testimonies. I declare that your word, I will not depart from it. No matter the pressure from the wicked, no matter what the accords that they are tying around me say, I will not depart from your testimonies. Pray. Each person, just use your own words, because I want to pray about things that are personal to you. Mention those experiences. Say, Lord, from here, I take out thousands of gold, pieces of gold. From this, I take out thousands of pieces of silver. I take out eternal lessons, growth in Christ, because of affliction. Lord, you do good even in the midst of my affliction. Say, Lord, you are reviving me according to your word. You are reviving me according to your word. You are building me up to what I'm supposed to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's give the Lord thanks. That's a prayer of believers. It's called seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Say, Lord, let that kingdom be birthed in me. Lord, let it be birthed. Let it be birthed in me. Lord, let it be birthed in me. Lord, let the kingdom, let it be birthed in me. Lord, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Our Father, we thank you. Thank you that you are good. Let's just read that portion again. I just feel like we should just read that portion. Everybody bring out your Bible. We are reading up to 72. Just 65 to 72. We'll just read that one. And then we'll share the grace and take a few announcements and go. Now, we're going to read it together. All right? I'll just guide by mentioning the verses here and there. But just read it from the beginning to the end. From verse 65. We are ending in 72. All right? One, two, let's go. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. 68. You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart, I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. 71. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. 72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. That is, David may have lost thousands of gold and silver pieces, said, but the lessons were more valuable. Whatever you have lost, the lessons are more valuable.
Amen.
I said the lessons are more valuable.
Amen.
And guess what? In this life, you will prove it one day.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our Father, we give you thanks. Thank you for the beauty of your word. Thank you for the Christ that you are birthing, bringing forth in us. The image of Christ is being formed in us. Because of that, Lord, we say the word is working. Everybody say after me, the word is working.
The word is working.
In my life it is working.
In my life it's working.
Say the word is working.
The word is working.
It's cleaning out every uncleanness.
It's cleaning out every uncleanness.
It's removing every godlessness.
It's removing every godlessness.
It's removing unbelief.
It's removing unbelief.
It's removing fear.
It's removing fear.
It's removing anxiety.
It's removing anxiety.
Say the word is working.
The word is working.
is building me up into the image of Christ. The word is working in me. It's making me think like my Father. The word is working in me. It's making the Spirit of Christ shine through me. Say, I'm not the person I used to be. Because the word is working. See, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is working in me. It's giving life to my mortal body. Say, the word is working. In Jesus' name. Now, let's share the grace in fellowship. Are we ready?
Yes.
One, two, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please bless somebody beside you. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Bless another person, please. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Bless one more person. One more person. This is your season of multiplication. In one for yourself. This is my season of multiplication and dominion. Why is it louder when I say for yourself? We have blessed one more person. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. All right, share of brethren. God bless you.